In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Like me, you've probably been crossing your fingers about a pastor in Gainesville in Florida, Pastor Jones, who wants to burn lots of Qurans on his back lawn in order to defend the Christian religion and the Western way of life. And the fact that General Petraeus and the President of the United States and goodness knows who else are not terribly keen on this doesn't seem much to influence him, because he knows what's what and what ought to happen, and it's going to happen because that's the will of the Lord. They've been thinking about it and praying it through, as he said, and that should be the final consequence. And if things go bad because of that, well, too bad. Well, if you look at the end of the first reading here, it says, "And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." It's a very extraordinary thing to say, the idea that God would change his mind. One of the things we say about God is that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he does not change his mind, that he is always the same, and that his will never alters. And yet it's saying here, "And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people." During the week, those of us who say the daily office, which clergy should do, and who are using the lectionary that I use, will have found themselves reading the first book of Kings about Elijah. You'll recall that Elijah challenged the priests of Baal to offer a sacrifice to God that was acceptable to him. And he said, "Well, you try over here in this corner, and I'll try over here in this corner, and we'll see what happens." So the priests of Baal cut up their bull and put it on the altar and all the rest of it, and they begged Baal to send down fire from heaven to consume it and show it's acceptable and show their power. And nothing happens. And Elijah says, "Well, perhaps he's asleep, you know, perhaps he's having a little rest. You should cry out louder and see what happens." So they cried out loud, and still nothing happened. So finally Elijah said, "Right, get out of the way, I'm going to do it with my sacrifice." And he pours water all over it so that it won't burn, all the rest of it. Calls upon the Lord, and lo and behold, the fire falls from heaven and everything is consumed, and so on. And then Elijah says, "Right, gather up the priests of Baal for me, don't let one of them escape." And he takes them down to the river, about 300 of them, and kills them all. Now, when you read this, you feel, gee, this is not quite what I'm, you know, that's not what I expect to hear. When you see the Lord God changed his mind about the disaster because Moses had to persuade him. Moses had to be more godly than God. Moses had to have a higher moral standard to a certain extent and a greater degree of mercy or whatever than God had to and had to persuade him otherwise. Well, if you had asked the fathers of the church, like St. Isaac the Syrian, what they thought about this, they would say to you, "You don't understand this if you just look at it on the surface, if you just look at it literally." And I found it quite helpful to read a modern writer called Terry Eagleton, who's done sterling work in sort of combating people like Professor Dawkins and co, when he says that the Old Testament in some way is a record of God's attack upon religion. It's God who is attacking religion, not the other way around, not God who's saying we should be more religious, but in some sense we should be less religious. And what he means by that is that human beings get their religion seriously wrong, and that what we are finding in the passage of Scripture, in the pages of Scripture, is God putting it right. And to do that, in some ways he has to abolish what is wrong in order to recover what is right. Now, I'm not sure that the people who wrote the scriptures, the Old Testament and so on, necessarily understood what was going on or able to interpret it correctly. But nevertheless, we find that in the very end, the very final revelation of who and what God is and what his will means, this is God upon the cross, paying the price of our religious zeal, because that's what he was doing, and saying, you know, they should be forgiven because they don't understand what they're doing. They think they are doing, as he said, you know, people who kill you, talking to his disciples, will think that they are doing God a service, but they won't be. So it's an extraordinary warning, really, and I was talking about it last week about idolatry. that the very best things get made into idols, not the worst things. We don't worship things that we think are bad. We worship things that we think are good. And Pastor Jones in Gainesville, Florida, thinks that what he's going to do is a jolly good thing to do. He's not thinking to do it because it's bad. On the contrary, he probably thinks he's the one person who's standing up for what's right in a world where things are all wrong. And so this comes to us as a reminder of the way in which we are to read and understand Scripture. And it's not backwards. We do not interpret the New Testament by means of the Old. We interpret the Old Testament by means of the New. We see in the crucified Christ, in the crucified and risen God, we see what it all means. In fact, there's a wonderful example of that, of course, in the Gospel of St. Luke, which we're particularly doing this year in the lectionary, the walk to Emmaus, where the disciples have their hearts and minds open. They don't understand the Scriptures. They've been very devout. They've no doubt studied it all their lives, but they still really haven't understood it. And as they walk to Emmaus, the Lord opens their hearts and minds to understand what the Scriptures actually mean. So in a world in which we live in a very, very technological and very sort of computer printout kind of world, we always like to see things in black and white in front of us. That's what makes it real. That in itself is the guide to everything. We see this with the way many Muslims deal with the Quran. We have to understand that the letter killeth and the spirit giveth life. And the spirit will give life to the letter, but we have to let it do so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.